Church, our study brings us to the book of Joshua. As we have followed the people of Israel from Egypt to the border of the promised land, the book of Exodus through Deuteronomy, these books are not merely history books. Rather, these books are books given to us by God so that we will see how God is going to save the world. These books are pictures of our redemption. In the book of Exodus, we saw that God is going to raise up a deliverer who will crush the enemy and set us free from our slavery. In the book of Leviticus, we learned that if we are going to be God's people, listen, if we're going to be God's people, then Heartland, we must be a holy people, devoted to the Lord. In the book of Numbers, we learned that as we travel in the wilderness to the promised land, we must not rebel, or we will come up short every time. No one who rebels, not even Moses, will enter God's promises. In the book of Deuteronomy, we learn that to enter the promised land, Heartland, you must have a heart that desires God. Desires God's law and understands that God is the reason. Listen, God is the reason why we can enter. Church, God wants us to understand, and God wants understanding hearts that can truly see Him for who He is as our God, and that we see God as preeminently everything that we need in life and godliness. Now, this morning, we come to the book of Joshua, which also must not be read as merely a narrative. It's all too easy for us to do that with this book. Tell the stories to the children about how the people of Israel conquered Jericho and occupied the land. But, church, this book is also filled with pictures of our redemption. There are two key pictures that we are going to observe as we study this book. First, God's promise of the inheritance is unfailing. God is willing and able to achieve it. God is going to do what he said he would do. He did it then, listen, and he'll do it this morning. God will keep his promise of his people entering the promised land. Second, success to enter the promised land will depend on his people being strong and courageous to trust in these promises. Heartland, we will be courageous enough to trust in God's promises. We all want to be. But the question that I have to ask us, knowing that we should be, is will we be, Brother Scott, courageous enough to believe in God's promises? Will we have the strength and the good fortitude to trust in our God or not when things look difficult, when things are bigger than we are? Will we have the strength and the courage to trust our God? Church, this is the framework for this book. This introduction sets up an important typology for this book. Moses, cannot lead the people into the promised land, but Joshua can lead. And he's going to lead the people into the promised land, and he will lead them in. Joshua will lead the people and give them rest. Joshua is the new Moses, which will be displayed on many occasions throughout the book of Joshua. The redemption event of the Exodus is going to be repeated in the book of Joshua under his leadership. Now, Heartland, the scriptures make it very easy for us to see this typology because, listen, the name Joshua in the Hebrew language is the name Jesus in the Greek. Joshua's name means Yahweh saves. In fact, we know this typology must be here because Joshua's given name was not Joshua. Moses, in Numbers chapter 13, verse 16, changed his name from Hoshea, which means salvation, to Joshua, which means Yahweh saves. So we need to keep our eye, church, as we study through this, on the New Testament, as we study the book of Joshua. Why, Brother Red? Because Joshua and the work God accomplishes through him, listen, are a picture of how God will bring people into the eternal promised land. God, listen, is calling for his people to have a deeper faith and to be strong and courageous and trust him like never before. This is a second chance to enter the promised land after, if you remember, that catastrophic failure called the wilderness. Are we listening? With these things in mind, church, let us consider Joshua chapter 1. Imagine the scene as it's presented to us in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The Lord says to Joshua, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Church, listen. The person who has been God's leader for the people of Israel all of Joshua's life has died now. Moses, the servant of the Lord, the humblest person in all the earth at that time of his life, is no longer leading these people. Moses could not complete the mission. It was not his charge to complete the mission. The Lord then comes to Joshua and tells him that now is the time for him to finish that task. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, God charges Joshua to do some things. The Lord comes to Joshua and tells him that he is going to lead the people into the promised land. Church, God's purposes continue even as the greatest of God's servants have passed away. The promises do not stop, and the work does not end because Moses died. In verse 3, everywhere Joshua walks, listen, in the land will be given to Israel just as the Lord promised Moses. Our God is a God of promise. And I want y'all to get that in your head. Just because times change, just because different people change, God's promises don't change. In verse number 5, No one will be able to stand against them all the days of his life. Church, listen to the encouraging words God declares to Joshua. God says, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you, rather, or forsake you. Church, we have seen how God was with Moses, and now God will be with Joshua in the same way. God will not leave him or forsake him. Heartland, listen, this becomes the basis of God's charge to Joshua. God's not going to leave him, and God's not going to forsake him. Can I tell us something too? In 2026, God won't leave you, and he won't forsake you. But God wants us to be strong and courageous. I want to get that in your head today. When you leave here, I want you to be thinking that I'm going to be strong and courageous. Life might throw me some curves, but my God won't change. Be strong and courageous. How can Joshua be strong and courageous? Because God is with Joshua. How can you be strong and courageous as a child of God in the family of God? It's because our God will be with you. God gave him the success, and God will give us success. Nobody will ever succeed against Joshua because God is with him, Brother Scott. He will cause the people to inherit the promises. In verse number 7, God tells Joshua again to be strong and courageous. Notice, church, that being strong and very courageous is being careful. Careful to do what, Brother Red? To follow all the law that Moses commanded. I wonder how that works in 2026. It works the same way. It works the same way. Being careful means to follow all the law that God commands. That's what it means. Church, listen. It takes courage to obey the scriptures. God's word, listen, often calls for us, Brother Theron, to sacrifice ourselves in various situations. We are not free to selectively obey God's commands. Can I get y'all to get that out of your head for 2026? Whatever God said, that's what we're going to do. We are not free, Heartland, to selectively obey the commands of God and his book, the Bible. The model for success is given. The book of law must be on your mouth, meditating on it day and night, being careful to do what, Brother Red? All that is written in it is still the same. Only then will you be prosperous and have success. Be strong and courageous to have complete dependence on the written word of our God. Having the law, listen, on your mouth means that you're reading it regularly with the intent to obey it. That's how we become strong and courageous, because we know we can trust our God. And as we go through all of these sermons and we look at how people were courageous, I stop to tell you they already had their minds made up. Rahab next week is going to have her mind made up. If we're going to be strong and courageous and be what God would have us to be, you got to do it with a made-up mind. In verse number 9, God commands Joshua for the third time to be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. Church, God will be with Joshua wherever he goes. It does not mean that trouble won't come, but God is going to be with him. Yes, he is. Why do you think that God told Joshua three times to be strong and courageous? Well, the likely answer is that because at this moment, Joshua is not strong. Moses has just died, failing to bring the people into the promised land. Joshua is the successor who would be terrified to try to fill the shoes that Moses left. Joshua saw what folk in the wilderness did with Moses. They wouldn't listen to Moses, and Joshua knew it. Joshua is fearful, and God is speaking to him to give him comfort and courage for the task that's before him, and it's not going to be easy. Verses 10 through 18, I want you to hear Joshua's charge to the people. In verse 11, Joshua now addresses the people and tells them that in 3 days, they're going to cross the Jordan and take possession of the land. In verses 12 through 15, Joshua reminds them, he reminds the tribe to go into the land and to fight to the finish. Remember that they requested Moses to settle the land on the east side of the Jordan River, outside of the promised land. They were granted to do this so long as they fought from the promised land until the land was subdued. Joshua, no, you got to fight now. So Joshua reminds these tribes of this promise. Notice in verse 13, that this is described as the Lord providing a place of rest. Church, listen, this rest imagery is repeated in verse 15. Rest is a big theme in the book of Joshua. In the book of Deuteronomy, rest does not mean, Brother Scott, inactivity. That's not rest. Rather, listen, rest refers to a complete dependence on God, not worrying about enemies, provisions, or concerns of life. That's what rest means. With this charge in verse 16 and 17, the people respond that they will obey Joshua like they obeyed Moses. They further encourage Joshua to be strong and courageous for the task at hand. Church, now we can read this and think that this is great for Joshua, but how we wish God would say something like this to us. Well, he did. Heartland, listen to the courage God gives us, and he's trying to give us to have faith to follow him. Just listen to the courage in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Paul, writing to that church at Ephesus, says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the scheme of the devil." Church, God says that we're able to be strong in him. We are to be strong, listen, not in our own strength, but in God's power. Church, this is what God was telling Joshua. God is going before you. You're not going to have to do anything but have the strength and the courage to trust God. God has got you. God says he will give you the strength. You just need to trust him. Church, listen. You just need to put his words in your heart and in your mouth. You just need to meditate on God's word all day long. You just need to be careful to follow what he has said and follow what he's told us to do. God says, listen, he has the rest of it. Church, just have the courage as you look at matters of faith that will come in your life. Have the courage. Sister Jameson, have your mind made up. I'm going to trust God. See, this is a proactive thing. What we're failing, to, what rather are, what are we failing rather to trust God to do? What is it that God can't do? We make such a mistake to look at the obstacles in life and think we have to do this ourselves. We think we are the power and we are the strength. And therefore, church, we trust in ourselves. But, church, how far does this go for us? How does it go for us when we depend on ourselves? Eventually, we come to see and know that we do not have the power we think we have. We do not have the influence that we wish we had. We don't have the control that we imagine we have. We do not even have that much control over our own lives. So how do we think that we're going to control and have power over the things and the people in our lives? We do not, we cannot. What are we afraid of regarding today or tomorrow that may come in your life? Do we think that God will break his promise to never leave us or forsake us? Do we really think he'll break that promise? Heartland, listen, I stopped to tell you this morning that God will not leave you. He didn't leave Joshua. Joshua had nothing to fear. He had no reason to be terrified because our God was with him. Our God will be with you. We need to learn before trouble comes to make up our mind that we're going to be strong and courageous because God will be with us. This was also a picture of our Lord. At the beginning of the lesson, we noted that Joshua is a figure for the coming Messiah, Jesus. No one would succeed against the work of the Son of God because God was with him too. See, you can't do anything with God. No matter what the opposition says, nobody can curse what God blesses. Jesus understood the same truth, that the Father would never leave or forsake him. Jesus knew that. In John chapter 16, verse 32, the Bible says, "Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet, I am not alone, for the Father is with me." See, I want to get this indelibly ingrained in our thinking that God won't leave me. He will never leave me alone. He didn't leave Jesus. He didn't leave Joshua. Heartland, Jesus endured with the knowledge that though everyone on earth left him alone, the Father would remain with Jesus. Jesus even included his time on the cross when he said this. Listen to what he said in John 8, 28 and 29. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me, and He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." Church, we ought to have this in our thinking. God will never leave me alone. In spite of what may happen. Church, listen carefully. The Father is always with you as you strive to serve Him and as you love Him with all your heart. Heartland, be strong and courageous to trust in our God because He's with you and will bring you to the eternal promised land. I stopped to tell y'all all this morning, don't grow weary in well doing. Sister Marlo, don't give up. Listen, be courageous. Be strong. God did everything He promised to Joshua. God did not leave him or forsake him. God did the same thing with His own Son, our Lord. God won't leave you either. It's a devil's lie. See, devil, the devil think he's slick. If he can get you to doubting God, he got you. Be strong, Heartland, and courageous. Have your mind already made up, Sister Murray, no matter what come, be it as it is or as it may, I've made up my mind that I'm going to give my God everything I got. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what we all need to do. This morning, I hope that you have your heart set on the fact that yes, things are going to happen. There are things that's going to happen that would cause you to grow weary, but I stop to tell you, be strong and courageous. That's what you're going to, we're going to talk about all the rest of the next 3 to 5 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever it is. But don't let anybody trick you into giving up. As I said, next week we'll talk about the fact that when it came time for the spies to go into to the land, they were hid. But we're going to go into that in great detail because I want to show you what that looks like. God will still be with you. Heartland, we're going to encourage each other to be strong, to be courageous, knowing that God will never leave us or forsake us. I hope I've said something this morning would encourage your heart to get your minds ready because we're going in faith. And we will not look back. We will not be afraid. We are the Church of Christ, the children of God, the family of God. And don't let anybody discourage you with that. Anybody ought to be able to say we won't quit. It ought to be the Church of Christ. That's why we want to encourage each other. We spent a bunch of weeks talking about love, talking about unity. Now we've got to have the faith to get it done. I hope I've said something this morning that would encourage your hearts. Read for next week, Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. And you'll be set for a message on a scarlet cord of faith. If you're here this morning